welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Well, I'm looking forward to getting into a new series, and this may take a little bit of time. I'd say at least a good 10 videos, but we're going to be talking about union with Christ, our union with Christ. So before we get into that, number one, we want you to let God come out of the pages of the Bible and get into your life. And you say, what does that look like? Well, let me say this. The majority of the day, God is doing little things for you and available to do many more things all the time, determining whether or not you acknowledge Him. And so many things get overlooked that God's involved with trying to help us, or so many things get missed where God's actually available, and yet we don't recognize Him. But Jesus said we do recognize Him. We do know Him. So we need to start thinking differently. I do know Him, I do recognize Him, and I'm not about to miss anything that He's doing in my life, and everything I see, I'm going to acknowledge. Just like last night for us, a great story for my wife and I. It was just an unusual sunset, and we are blessed to have a picture window that's three different, you know, panes of glass all the way up, so it's very tall, where it just looks out over the mountains, down through a valley. And how beautiful it is. And last night, it was just stunning. It's very hard to actually put words on it because it was so beautiful. The colors were so amazing. The clouds in the sky were doing all kinds of different things. And literally for a half an hour, as we watched the sun get lower and lower, go behind the mountains and then shine up brilliant light up on all those clouds, we just sat there in awe. I mean, we just stopped the little show we were watching multiple times and said, oh my goodness, we can't take this. Let's go outside and look again and take more pictures. God, you're doing so much here. It looks like a canvas is being continually painted on minute after minute after minute until the sun was gone. You know, those moments, as much as we like them, and anybody would like them, let them become God ministering to your heart. And in the same way you can acknowledge Him right there, you can acknowledge Him the same way in the midst of your heart that might not be working like it should, to acknowledge that He is in that heart, making it perfect. In the midst of your shoulder right now, if you've got shoulder pain, I'm telling you, Jesus is setting you free. And if there's any type of bone spurs in your spine, I command them to leave, not only in your spine, but also in your heels. Oh, we've seen some people gloriously healed of bone spurs, instantaneously just gone, where they couldn't put their heel down, and now they're stomping on the ground. I'm telling you, God's doing things even right here and right now. Somebody right in your neck, as far as the thyroid is concerned, God's healing you and setting you free right now in the wonderful name of Jesus. You'll have grace stories to send to us at jhmi@jimhockaday.com, where we can share with everybody what the Lord is doing. Number two, as God becomes real in your life, that's what it's supposed to be, a relationship with Him. Faith then becomes a response to Him. It's not so much you're trying to get faith as you're using faith. That's a really, really important subject. And we could go over to Jesus as He talked in, I believe it's Luke 17, and I could go there and check, but right now we want to go this particular subject, where Jesus told the disciples to do something with their faith, to forgive, you know, 7 times 70. Oh, Lord, we need more faith. And then He gave this story about a servant who goes out and does what they're supposed to, and when they come back, does the master have to give them all kinds of accolades for doing what they were required to do? Or does He even say further, would you go ahead and draw some water or get a meal prepared? In other words, what He was trying to say is not being mean about a servant doing what he was doing. He was trying to tell you that your faith is supposed to do something. Grace wants you to give it your or him, give Him grace. The influence of God wants your to-do list and wants you to watch Him do things in your life. This is what our faith was meant for, not to spend all our time trying to get it, but what? But to use it and enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Well, number three, we want to share testimonies of what God has done. Already 4 minutes have gone by, close to five. Boy, how time flies. Let me go to Matthew 11. and we'll look at 27 to 30 in the Message Bible. And Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. So here we are with our union with Christ. Well, plumbers understand very well what a union is. It's where you have pipes coming together and yet the threads are going the opposite direction. So you need a union, which is a nut that's in the middle that when you turn it, it pulls the opposite direction of this pipe and it pulls the opposite direction of this pipe and connects them until what's in this pipe flows into this pipe and then the opposite is true. Now the good thing we know is greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, which means when we came into union with Jesus Christ, everything from his side came into our life. And you know, the Lord didn't get too much from us. But praise the Lord, he didn't want too much from us. He was just wanting to put everything in him that he received from the Father so that we could be sons of God exactly like him, doing the same thing as he does, where we actually use the power, the wisdom, the ability, and our redemption in Christ to stand before God and release the anointing in the same measure and even more so than Jesus did himself. Our union with Christ. Well, I'm going to start here with John 1:12 because the first thing that happened is our union with Christ made us sons of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave power or the right to become children or sons of God to those who believe in his name. And verse 13 tells us, who were born not of blood, not of the will of man, not of the will of flesh. Isn't that interesting that after John tells us that when we received him, he gave us power to become sons of God. Something was flowing through his pipe into our pipe, and when it touched it, it annihilated sin and reproduced in us a brand new kind of human being called a Christ man or a Christ woman. A person so filled with Jesus that even though they maintain their personality, they have the ability of God to do everything Jesus did just like he did it. This is the glory of this redemption or our union with Christ. Now, when John goes further in verse 13 to explain, he said, who were born, and then he said, not. So the first thing John did was to want to cancel out what you knew about who you used to be. He didn't want to just tell you you're born of God, everything's so hunky-dory, it's so amazing, God lives in you. Because if you still think and are attached to the person you used to be, how you receive what he tells you that's so good will literally be watered down with all that unbelief and that position of an old man. In other words, a position of a sinner, a person that was born into the nature of sin. So the first thing John says is, who were born not of the will of flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man. And what did he do? He took away from you everything that you used to identify with as a human being so that you could say, okay, so what am I supposed to do now? It's kind of like when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, you know, and he opened his eyes and he's looking at God. Can you imagine if he opened his eyes and there was no one there and he's kind of looking around and there's this beautiful garden, but he doesn't really know what to do with it or what to make of it because he doesn't even understand his own purpose. What was he destined to be? Who is he? Where is he? What is this? Who am I? What can I do? What can I do? What should I think? What should I not think? Isn't it interesting that God was right there? And we see in Genesis 2 and verse 4 that the Lord God, in the day that God finished his creation, in other words, that means Jehovah Elohim, all through the 31 verses of Genesis chapter 1, all you find is Elohim. And through the first 3 verses of chapter 2, all you find is Elohim. And in verse 2, when we see that he was finished with everything, all of a sudden you see another name added to Elohim. And that name is Jehovah Elohim. And it means the self-existent one who reveals himself as the one true and only God. And what does that tell you? But the moment Adam opened his eyes, God was right there. Adam was staring at God. God was staring at Adam. And he opened his eyes and God said, "Hello, Adam. I'm your father. We're going to have an awesome time together. I made this beautiful garden so that we could hang out. Spend time all day long." And I'm sure Adam looked at him and said, you're my father? Yes, I created you and I want to walk with you and talk with you and share all about why I created you so that you have purpose in your heart and you can know with an absoluteness the direction of which you're to go. Don't you love that God would be right there to quickly, as fast as he can, introduce himself? I certainly remember when my first daughter, Allie, was born. And I so remember when they handed her to me and then we're just kind of doing some things with Aaron. I remember that I took her over into the corner and she was so beautiful. And I looked at her and I said, "Honey, Allie, this is your daddy." And I said, "I'm going to make sure that you love Jesus. I'm going to tell you all about him. I'm going to give you a wonderful, warm home. And I'm going to make sure you got the best of everything that I can provide. I want you to know that I love you and I'll always be here for you." I wanted her to know from the very first moment. You said, "Well, how much could she comprehend?" You know, that wasn't really even in my thinking. I just couldn't wait to identify myself to her so that she had an identity automatically and immediately. Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that God loves us in this kind of measure? That he would want to talk to us and show himself to us right away? So John said, we're not born of the flesh, not born of the will of man, not born of blood. In other words, you may be saying, "Yeah, but you don't understand. My parents had diabetes. My grandparents had diabetes. And now I have diabetes. And I want to tell you, but you're not in that family anymore." Yes, on the earth, you associate with the family of your genealogy. But in heaven, you have new genes. Praise the Lord. God's come to live inside of you. You are now united to God. And there's no diabetes in heaven. You don't have to associate yourself through blood or the will of flesh or the will of man any longer. Why? Because then John goes on to say, but we were born of God. Look at that word "of," that little proposition. It literally links us to God himself. Come on, this is what caused Jesus to go to the cross. It wasn't just that he had miracles. It was that he talked about God as his father. And the Jews could not comprehend this. The religious people were not there. They were bound under sin consciousness. How could somebody say that God was his father, then making himself equal with God? I'm telling you that we have been brought into the family of God and God is our Father and that makes us equal with God. We can talk about this later, but that just simply means that we are not able to replace him, but we are able to represent him. He made us so much like himself that we can represent him pure and holy. Oh, it's so good to be in the family of God. Come on, I'm going to go to another scripture here and then we'll stop. And I'll give you, you know, just a little bit more of that story that I was just telling you about earlier. But it says 1 John 3 and verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now we are sons of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now you can look at that and say, see, we'll never really know who we are until we see him in the air and we're caught up to be with him forever. Or could this also mean but we know when he is revealed. In other words, when revelation comes of who Jesus is, that then becomes the mirror into which you look and find yourself. If you can find him, you can find you. And when you find the real you, you'll find the real him because he's in you. Oh, this is such good truth. I just want to say that again. Beloved, now we are sons of God. And one translation said, and we are. Why did it repeat that? Because maybe that's a place of stumbling for so many. They have a hard time conceptualizing that they are like him, a son of God, when they're so used to looking in the mirror and seeing them like them. Oh, if we're going to talk about the union with God, we're going to have to divorce ourselves from the idea that we are human like most people think humanity is. We are now godlike in character and in being, made in his image and made in his likeness. Well, I challenge you all this week, go find the most beautiful either sunrise if you're an early riser or a sunset at night. Sit there and bask in the color and in the beauty and see that the same connection that you have to something so beautiful that God made for you is the same connection that's destroying a cancer cell right now and opening up a blind eye and causing an ear that's plugged up to be released and giving absolute peace to someone's stomach so that you no longer have a flare-up of indigestion. God's doing miracles right here and right now. So good to be with you. Follow us on Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page or go to the YouTube channel Adventures in Grace and subscribe. Please let other people know what's taking place, that they're hearing something that's connecting us to God himself. We're getting a prayer answered. It's not as difficult as we actually thought. And then, of course, I want to hear your grace stories at jhmi@jimhockaday.com, where you can find that email on our website. God bless you all. We'll see you soon.